Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your presence here this morning so that we can worship God together. The coming Thursday is a day set aside by this nation as Thanksgiving Day. A day for turkey and dressing. A day that many spend time with family and with friends. But as the name implies, it's also a day of giving thanks. And the Bible speaks often about the importance of being thankful. The psalmist spoke of it when he penned the words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 118, verse 1. Paul wrote of how he gave thanks often for the congregations that he served. As he wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The question I want us to raise this morning is, does our thankfulness go further than one day a year? Does our thankfulness move past an attitude of gratitude that is expressed simply with words to actions of gratitude in our daily lives? You know, we understand this concept in our lives. Husbands, if you want to thank your wife for something that she has done, and you really want her to know that you appreciate it, do you just tell her thank you with mere words, or do you accompany those words with some type of action? And flip the script wise, if you want to thank your husband for something that he has done, and you really want him to know that you're thankful for that, do you merely say thank you, or do you accompany those words with actions? You see, we understand that if we're truly thankful, then that attitude will be expressed in our actions. That attitude will come forth in the things that we do. Jesus expressed that very idea in some things that took place in Luke chapter 17. And if you have your Bibles, I invite your attention there for a few moments this morning. Luke chapter 17, we're going to notice verses 11 through 19 together. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And so it was that as he went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." Notice this individual, for this one leper that was cleansed, the giving of thanks that he felt, it was accompanied by actions. It wasn't just merely something that he felt or something that he merely expressed in words, but he acted on that thankfulness. He returned to Jesus. He fell at Jesus' feet and he praised God for what had taken place. And Jesus noticed that this man's thankfulness was shown through his actions. The Bible says, "And he was a Samaritan." You want something interesting to look at? Go through the gospel accounts and notice the different times that Jesus, either in telling a parable or in something that took place, draws attention to the fact that an individual is a Samaritan or a Gentile. He did this many times in order to show the Jews, "Hey, you're the ones that should act this way. You're the ones that know the law. You're the ones that know what God has done. You're the ones that should be expressing your thankfulness in your actions. But you're not. It's these individuals that do." There's a lesson there to us that we can become complacent in the pew. And we can get to a point that we're not really letting our light shine like we should. Jesus goes on, answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Notice Jesus asked the question, where are the other 9? Where are they at? Thus illustrating the fact that the one who was thankful was the one who acted. The one who was truly thankful for what God had done for him, for what Christ had done for him, was the one who acted upon that feeling and who gave thanks to the God of heaven. With those thoughts in mind, I want us to look this morning at three areas where we should be thankful, and three ways in which we can and should express that faithfulness in our actions. Y'all, God's not just looking for lip service. He's looking for life service. If we're truly thankful, we have to act on it. What does that look like? Three things that I want us to notice. Number one, if you are thankful for God, then give. If you are thankful for God, then give. If I'm truly thankful for the God of heaven and all that He has done for me, then I will give to Him. Now, anytime you mention give from the pulpit, people automatically think about the offering. And that is part of giving to God. We are blessed, we are prospered by God, and as a result, we should give to reflect that. But I want to suggest to you this morning two other areas where we can give to God that are just as important. Just as it is wrong for us to withhold our giving to God in the offering, it's just as wrong for us to withhold our giving to God in these areas. Number one, we need to give of our time. We need to give of our time. Now, anytime we talk about giving of our time, we normally mention the fact that we should give of our time in worship to God. We understand that. You know, we should be here every opportunity that we have to show our thankfulness to God by worshiping Him. We should give of our time in Bible study. We should give of our time in prayer to God. But I want to suggest another area where we should give of our time. And as we think about time, time's important, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those resources that is fixed. We all have 24 hours in a day. I don't have more than you. You don't have more than me. We all have that same set amount. And I recognize that there are some that maybe have more things that are required of them in those 24 hours. You know, if the person who has a full-time job and the person that is required, there's a difference in what might be required of those two individuals. The person who has small children and the person whose children are grown and out of the house, there's a difference in the time requirements for those individuals. But the fact of the matter is, we all have the same amount of time. I want you to think about this. What if everyone, and some of you already do this, and I'm thankful to you because of it, but what if everyone spent a couple hours a week? Not a day, a week. What if everyone spent a couple hours a week visiting, calling individuals who maybe weren't at worship services or who have been under the weather or have had surgery? Sending cards, studying with people from God's Word. What if each and every one of us set aside a couple of hours a week to do those things? Look, 2 hours, you could set aside 20 minutes a day, and you wouldn't even have to use all the days in the week. You just have to use 6 of them. You got one day off. We can all find 20 minutes. The thing I always say, record your favorite show, fast forward through the commercials, and there's your 20 minutes right there. What if we all did that? You think that wouldn't make a difference in this congregation? You think it wouldn't make a difference in the lives of those around us? Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, in the same chapter, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. Taking time for each other and for those who are not Christians, friends, what a difference that would make. God gives us the time and ability to do so many things. The least that we can do is to devote some of that time for His cause. If you're thankful for God and for all that He has done for you, you'll give of your material blessings, you'll give of your time, and then you'll give of your talents. Everyone has something that they can do for the cause of Christ. We all have abilities and things that we can do to help further the cause of Christ. I don't care what your age is. If you're a Christian, there's something that you can do. And maybe you can teach or preach. Maybe lead singing. Maybe you're a good organizer and you can organize things. Maybe, you know, just the right words to write in a card. Maybe you're good at encouraging others. Whatever it is, there's something that you can do. Bible class teachers. There's always a need in that department. We always are in need of people who are willing to step up. And look, this, I've never done it before. I don't think I could. How do you know? Have you ever tried? Step up and help out. Here's something else that is said sometimes. And you know what? I put in my time. I've done my time. I'd hate to stand before God and tell Him, well, I didn't do things because I had already put in my time. I think about some of our ladies here, like Miss Jane, Miss Ann, Miss Joe. If anyone could make the statement, I put in my time, those ladies could. But you know what? They're still faithfully teaching. They're still making a difference in the lives of our young people. Step up and help out. Give of some of your time. Give of your talents. If we are truly thankful to the God of heaven, then we're going to act upon that thankfulness. Number two this morning. If you are thankful for Christ, then be converted. If you are thankful for Christ, then be converted. And in a few moments, we'll notice also committed. If you're thankful for Christ, then be converted and committed. If I'm truly thankful to my Savior, His coming to this earth, His living a perfect life, His sacrificing that life on a cross for me, if I'm truly thankful for all of that, then I'm going to act upon that thankfulness. And depending on my situation, I will do that in one of two ways. First off, if I'm not a Christian and I'm truly thankful for Christ, then I'll be converted. I will become a Christian. I will do what the Bible says that I need to do in order for that to take place. And y'all, that's so important. There are well-meaning people across this nation who tell people to do different things that aren't found in God's Word. And there are people who are convinced that they are Christians because they did what that well-meaning person told them. This is what you need to do. But friends, if we're not doing what God has said in His Word, then while we might think we are Christians, we're not. Many of you like apple dumplings. That's my one great contribution to the congregation moving here, is fixing those apple dumplings from time to time. And many of you have gotten that recipe from me. And if you take that recipe, and let's say as you're going through that recipe, you say, you know what, I know it says to use this much butter, but I'm just not going to use any butter. Are the apple dumplings going to come out the same way? No, they're not. Or if you say, you know what, I know it says to use cinnamon and sugar, but I'm just going to use sugar. Are they going to come out the same way? No, they're not. If you, and some of you who don't have the recipe, you're going to find this shocking. If you withhold the secret ingredient of Mountain Dew, yeah, some of y'all just, though y'all don't have the recipe because some of you just went. If you withhold the secret ingredient of the Mountain Dew, is it going to come out the same way? No. Why? Because you're not following the instructions in the way that they were given. If you want apple dumplings, then you have to follow the recipe the way that it's written. Friends, if you want salvation, you have to follow God's recipe the way it's written. God has given us what we need to do. Because of His grace and mercy, because of the shed blood of Christ, we can have our sins forgiven, but we have to meet God on His terms. We don't get to dictate the terms of salvation. I don't get to dictate that. I didn't die on the cross. I don't get to dictate that. It wasn't my Son who shed His blood. God dictates that. So what does God say? We need to hear the Word and believe it. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is no other way that you are going to get faith than from this book right here. There is no secret recipe. There is no magical fairy dust. There is no other way that faith will abide in you and grow in you than from this book. Romans 10:17 lets us know faith and God's Word, those two are connected and they can't be separated. And that faith is so important. Because in Hebrews 11:6, the Hebrew writer tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that God is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. John 8:24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Friends, we must believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that God is who he says he is. If we truly believe that, then we'll repent. Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish." Acts 17:30, as Paul is preaching to those in Athens, he tells those men, "Truly this time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Now I realize repentance sometimes is we might say it's a churchy word. It's a word that we use in the church that maybe not everyone understands. But Jesus defined what repentance is for us in Matthew chapter 21. In verses 28 and 29, Jesus tells a very short parable, but it defines what repentance is. He says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he said to one of his sons, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And the son said, I will not, but afterwards he regretted it and went." What happens here? Well, the father goes to the son, and he says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And the son said, "I'm not going to do it." But the Bible says that afterward he regretted. That word regretted, if you read it in the King James Version, it says repent. It's the same word in the Greek. It's the same word that's used in a lot of other places for repentance. What happened to this young man? He had a change of mind. Remember, he said, "I'm not going," and then he went. Well, what happened in between there? He changed his mind. That's repentance. It's a change of mind. And it's a change of mind that then leads to a change in action. And that's what we're talking about. If I want to become a Christian, I have to have that mind change. I have to change my mind about sin. I have to change my mind about self. And that change of mind is going to lead to action. What are those actions? I will confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, Paul writes that if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus talks about the fact that those who confess him before men, he will also confess them before his Father in heaven. But those who deny him before men, he will also deny them before his Father in heaven. It's the same confession that we see in Acts chapter 8, made by the eunuch. Where as they're traveling along, he says to Philip, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You remember Philip's answer? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then based upon that confession, friend, we must be baptized. I realize that's a sticking point in the religious world today. There's not many religious individuals who would disagree with anything that has been said up to this point. And they would believe that, yes, you have to believe. Yes, you need to change your mind and change your actions. You need to confess that belief. Friends, the Bible also so clearly teaches, as it teaches those other things, it teaches that one must be baptized. There's so many verses that we could look at this morning. One sufficient to show it. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus is speaking, talking about the fact that we're going to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. And in verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Friends, that's how someone becomes a Christian, according to God. By taking those steps, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blood of Christ, it cleanses us from our sins, and we're added to the Lord's church. This morning, if you're thankful for Christ and you're not a Christian, then be converted. But number two, If you're a Christian and thankful for Christ, but you're not living as you should, then you need to be committed. We all need to take salvation seriously. We need to commit ourselves to the cause of Christ. Joshua did that in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. As Joshua is making one of his last addresses to the children of Israel, after they've entered the promised land and gone through the conquest, he says to them, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was committed to living his life for God. We see that attitude in the apostles. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, as they're brought before the Sanhedrin, they're threatened. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." They were committed to the cause of Christ. It's what we see the Hebrew writer talk about in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2. He's just given this list of people in chapter 11. We call it the roll call of faith. These individuals that were committed to God no matter what. And he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," these individuals that came before us that were committed to the cause of Christ, he says, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, if you want to run a race, you got to be committed. We talked last week about running a marathon. I've never ran a marathon because I'm not committed enough to do the training that it would take in order to run the marathon. That takes a great level of commitment. But you know, I can go through this life and never run a marathon and it'll be just fine. But friends, if I'm not committed to running the race that's set before me by God, if I'm not committed to running that Christian race, friends, that has eternal consequences. If I'm truly thankful to Christ, then I'm going to be committed to His cause. Third and finally this morning, if you're thankful for forgiveness, then be faithful. If you are thankful for forgiveness, then be thankful. I am thankful for God's forgiveness. Now, if you can't agree with the statement, there's something wrong with that. That's a statement that surely I hope all of us agree with. That we can be thankful for God's forgiveness. Just think about the state that we were in. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There is not an individual in this room of an accountable age that has not committed sin. Not one. Well, Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now think about where we are without forgiveness. We're still in sin. We are the servant of self and Satan. We are bound for an eternity in hell with no way to avoid it. Friends, that's the situation we were in. But that doesn't have to describe us. Because God provided the solution. Because God so loved us, He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, Christ loved us so much that He gave His life. And because of that, friends, we can have forgiveness. One of the most contradictory things that a Christian can do is to be forgiven of so much and to live unfaithfully. You think about it for just a moment. That is the most contradictory thing of all. for us to be forgiven of so much and then turn our back upon the one that forgave us. If you think about it, it's slapping God in the face. His son dies for you, and then you live your life as if it doesn't matter. Not only does living faithfully show God our appreciation for His grace in forgiving us, not only does it show God our thankfulness for His son dying for us, but friends, it'll grant us a home in heaven. I mean, how much better can I get? I show God my thankfulness, and He just gives me even more to be thankful for. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Friend, if you're thankful for forgiveness, then be faithful. If I'm truly thankful this morning, then I'm going to act on that thankfulness. If you're thankful for God this morning, then give. Give of yourself, of your time, of your talents, of your blessings. If you're thankful for Christ, then be converted if you're not a Christian, and be committed if you are. If you're thankful for forgiveness, friend, then be faithful to the one who forgave you. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Let me ask you, friend, have you taken advantage of that gift this morning? By becoming a Christian if you're not one, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to contact the blood of Christ, to have those sins washed away, to be added to the Lord's church. If you are a Christian, you've let ingratitude take you away from God, come back to Him this morning. I have no doubt that there's not a person in this room this morning that if asked the question, "Are you thankful for what God has done for you?" would respond, "No." I think we all would respond in the affirmative. "Yes, I'm thankful for what God has done for me." Friends, if we are thankful, then let's not just say it. Let's show it. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.